presents Bramley Moor 1914, written by Paul Daly and starring Christopher Power, Reuben Clark, Ethan Mads, Pete Gibson and Rachel Beach. Episode 5, The Games Begin.
I'm anxious to say HMS Audacious, but proceeding at pace. To save my skin, I had convinced the corrupt city police officer, Sergeant Brown, he could join us as a partner with the promise of dockyard wealth. I had finally met with my estranged brothers, Tommy and Johnny, members of the notorious Irish mob. I had hoped to use my family connections to gain access to those who planned to sink Audacious when she berthed at Bramley Moor. However, an unforeseen problem had arisen. Our family reunion would not be confirmed until I had proven my commitment to the cause. I must kill someone. I was stunned. My brother's request was an unexpected turn in events. And who is it I must murder to prove my family loyalty?
He's a British Secret Service officer, albeit a spy on us. His name, we believe, is Major Parker.
I try to conceal my surprise. And where can I find this Major Parker?
He enjoys the company of one of your friends, Lil Palmer.
Well, Lil, what has she got to do with this?
Oh, your Lil can be very patriotic when she wants. She's planning on giving the Major a fine old time this evening, I believe.
I was tempted to say she never mentioned it, but held my tongue.
They're having a bit of dinner at the Adelphi. You have a table booked. Then after dinner, before retiring for the night, and a bit of fun. Lil, well, she's promised to show Major Parker the town.
Well, I see. Does Lil know about your plans?
Well, she knows bits, but it's probably best we keep her out of it, eh, brother? Or maybe not. I mean, one less town process.
Never liked it anyways. Stuck up cow. Deserves all she gets.
This was turning very bad. How will I be able to save both Lil and the Major without revealing myself and my real plans? And where would you like this assassination to happen?
Low Hill. Right outside the cop shop. We want to send them coppers a lesson. Don't we, Tommy?
Not half. You've gone quiet, brother.
Don't you want to do it?
Look, I'm thinking.
Thinking? Well, don't think too much. Time's getting on. It's up to you. Big talk you gave there. Now it's time to prove it wasn't just words. Or you really meant it.
That's if you want to do this and be part of the family again. Getting Dad's good books.
My mind raced. I couldn't warn Parker. I didn't have enough time. I needed Dancer. But I sent him home for the night. The spark of an idea formed in my mind. How would you like him killed?
We'll let you decide that, brother.
You obviously want to send a message to the people that well, you know.
That's the idea.
An explosion always makes people sit up and take notice.
It certainly does, brother.
Any idea where you get dynamite at such short notice?
I know a man.
Time is short, brother. We'll have to move quickly.
I needed time. Sergeant Brown's claim to having everything was about to be put to the test. Listen, can we delay this man, Parker?
How would we do that?
Well, we could steal his coat.
It's a good idea. He won't walk anywhere around this city. It's too dangerous.
And there it was. How to kill two birds with one stone. I had a solution. Come on, let's go. And I was off, leaving my two brothers trailing in my wake.
Where are you going?
To see a man about a bomb. I made double-quick time through the city. My brothers, though, Andy in the ring and out of it, had no level of fitness. When we arrived at the lockup yard on Parliament Street, where Sergeant George Wilson had taken us earlier, both men were sweating and breathing heavily.
What is this place?
Never mind. Now, we need you to go and steal Major Parker's coach and bring it here.
What about the driver?
Bring him too. Rough him up a bit and put him in the back. When we're finished, we might need him to identify his master. Johnny and Tommy exchanged glances, who were hesitating, obviously unsure what my intentions were. But due to the lack of time, they didn't have the option of considering the plan. My God, gentlemen, is this how you conduct all your operations? Will you just hurry up? Get to it.
Why can't we just shoot him?
Fine, let's do that.
No, I like Patrick's idea. Let's put on a show.
Flaming stupid idea, if you'd ask me.
Well, you're lucky because nobody is asking you.
Let's see what Dad says, eh?
Well, Dad's not here, is he? So I'm in charge.
Watching them both argue, Tweedledee and Tweedledum came to mind from an Alice in Wonderland book. You know, the one I had been reading to the children. If fate had not been kind, I may have been another Tweedle. I made my way back into the yard, but I was immediately confronted by a surprised-looking policeman. I'm here to see Sergeant Brown.
He's not here.
I could tell by the hesitation in his voice. He was lying. Get him for me now.
I said.
Okay, son. I'll deal with the sergeant. Back so soon, Patrick.
You said you can help. Well, I'm here to take you up on your offer.
Do you know that's why I like you? You're a man of impulse. So what's it going to be?
Dynamite. One or two sticks and a timer.
And a timer.
How?
You're still obsessed.
Short fuse variety. George Brown started walking away, laughing. Hold on, where are you going?
Get you to order.
It took no more than 5 minutes before Sergeant Brown returned.
Now, do you want to tell me what this is for?
We are going to kill a British spy and prove my loyalty to the Irish mob. Sergeant Brown found this even funnier and rolled around in laughter.
Oh, Patrick, you are a funny man. I can see working with you is going to be a lot of fun. And when do you plan carrying out this improbable task?
I consulted my watch at 9:30. There was a pause and more laughter from Brown.
Honestly, Patrick, you should be on the stage.
Brown found this whole adventure totally amusing. He handed me the dynamite and pointed out the quick-acting fuse, which was merely a spring on a dial, which you twisted. And in the time it took to return to zero, it produced a spark which ignited the dynamite, rudimentary in its operation and hugely inefficient. I pray that today it would serve its purpose. I had no time to humor Sergeant Brown. Satisfied, I had the tools and now had to prepare to kill someone. Sergeant Brown, two men will shortly come to the gates in a blacked-out coach they have stolen. You must seize the coach and arrest the men. Take them to a bridewell and question them on how they obtained the coach, and then beat them soundly before taking them down to the dark road and dropping them outside the goat, warning them against doing it again.
Is there anything else, Sergeant?
Yes, yes. They'll have a passenger. He's the coach driver. He's to remain in the carriage.
Revenge on the Irish mob, eh? For the beaten. Yeah, crafty little bastard. And what then?
I will take the coach and attempt to kill the king's man. And as I agreed, Brown was silent, probably considering the consequences should my mission not succeed and we are caught. Any problems?
No. Nah, not at all. You do what you have to do, Sergeant.
Right. Now, assemble your officers. And at the moment the coach stops and you've secured the men, take them away from here.
And what will you do?
Well, I will take care of business. Brown left and gathered a number of his men and gave them a quick briefing and drove out the police coach and horses. I left the yard and crossed the road and hid in the darkness of a narrow, quick entry. I could see a large coach slowly plodding up the hill. It was the one Park had collected me a few days earlier. I took a step back. I was about to close the door when I felt a presence behind me. I drew my billy club and swung around.
Evening, Sergeant Bewley.
Free me, Dancer. What are you doing here?
Sorry, Sarge, but when I left you at the Coburg, I passed these two surly-looking gentlemen coming through the gates. They looked shifty, like they were up to no good. So I thought, bet these fellas are here to see you. So I thought I'd best stay about in case you needed a hand.
Well, thank you, Constable. You are a godsend. One thing, why didn't you step forward when they dangled me over the dock?
I did think about it, sir, but bloody hell, Sarge, have you seen the size of them? So I thought, if they're going to kill you, there's nothing I could do about it. But on the other hand, I'd know where to look for the body.
The correct decision, Constable. Good work. Now, I'm going to have more work for you to do. I quickly gave Dancer his instructions. He slipped away into the night, hopefully reaching the Adelphi before Lil and Major Parker appeared on the steps of the hotel and could be identified. The coach almost reached the top of the hill when I heard the shrill burst of a whistle, and from my hiding place, I saw several police officers appear from nowhere and commandeer the coach. My brothers, who were sitting on the driving board, were taken by surprise. The officers dragged the two men from the carriage and began viciously attacking them. I felt a little bit sorry for them both, before reminding myself that this situation was usually reversed and it was Tommy and Johnny hanging out the beatings. I was impressed how quickly the operation was completed and the two men were bundled into the wagon and driven away. By the time I revealed myself, George Brown was standing holding the reins of the coach.
The driver's in the back. He's taken a bit of a beating, but he'll survive.
I checked through the carriage window. The driver was indeed sitting up nursing a shiner, but recovering. From his build and complexion, I would surmise he was part of Major Parker's operation. He was probably a sergeant, possibly in the guards. His tanned suggested he'd recently returned from sunnier climates. He recognized me and winked, realizing that this operation must be part of some greater plan. Whether he was aware of the full extent of this operation, he gave no clue. I asked him to remove his topcoat muffler and pass them to me, as he did without speaking. I ordered him to stay there and don't move. He took the garments and began to put them on. I recovered his bowler, began to climb into the driver's board. Thank you, Sergeant. I'm impressed.
Well, all part of the service, Patrick. Partners, remember?
How could I forget?
Now, what's next?
From now we blow up a member of His Majesty's Secret Service. I couldn't help but return a smile. This was a crazy day, and it was far from over. Thank goodness for Dancer. During our brief conversation, I told him to make haste to the Adelphi and find Will Palmer and warn Major Parker. These things I had asked him to do without him knowing what any of these people looked like or where they may be found, apart from somewhere within the walls of the Adelphi Hotel. I was indeed stretching his resources. His ability to achieve these tasks would certainly be a challenge for the young lad. Still, I thought we are all flying by the seat of our pants, and whatever judgments Dancer makes will be comparable to his ingenuity and intellect, which had increased greatly since spotting the potential problems with my brothers earlier. I thanked Sergeant Brown, told him I would contact him soon, and proceed to drive away from the yard. As I did so, Brown called me too.
"Art misery, member. What's yours is half mine."
I proceeded down the hill, and I knew I would not be followed, as there was no point. Brown knew my destination. At the bottom of the hill, there was a commotion. A man had been run over by a car. There was a crowd, and some stood looking at a mangled dead body. Others tried to console the driver who was trying to explain how the man had just walked out. I maneuvered the coach around the carriage that had an idea. I reached back to the porthole behind the driver's seat and called to Major Parker's driver, now sitting tensely waiting for instruction. "Driver, can you come with me? I need to recover that dead body from beneath that truck."
"Yes, sir."
Quick as a flash and without question, the driver jumped from the coach and forced his way through the crowd. Then with the strength of an ox, drew the body up and onto his shoulder, much to the shock and anger of the crowd.
"Oi, what do you think you're doing?"
"Taking him to hospital."
"But the police ain't come yet. Someone called an ambulance."
"But he's dead, oi. Hey, I said, oi, he's dead. You can't just take him."
The driver wasn't listening, and he forced his way back to the coach, where he unceremoniously threw the blood-soaked body onto the floor of the carriage and jumped in. In the fleet of an eye, we were off. The crowd stood bemused, watching us go. "Well done, driver."
Thank you, sir."
"I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name."
"Driver will do, sir."
"How badly damaged is the body, driver?"
"His torso is shot. Part of his face is disfigured. There's a lot of blood."
"That's good."
"Begging your pardon, sir, is there a reason for all this?"
"Yes. I'm about to kill your major."
"Oh, I see."
"Well, you don't sound surprised."
"It's a hazard of the job, I'm afraid. A lot of people have got it in for the major."
"So, you're used to this kind of a thing, then?"
"Not this particular ruse, but the planned outcome is always the same."
"Hopefully, I won't be the first to succeed in my mission, then."
"Oh, I'll see to that, sir."
"You're a good man, driver. Let's hope appearances and assumed outcomes can be convincing."
"Are you permitted to tell me the plan, sir?"
"If I had one. Be sure you'll be the first to know. My aim, however, is to trick the Irish mob into believing that I have killed Major Parker." I pulled the coach to a halt. "Do you know where the Adelphi Hotel is?"
"Yes, sir."
"And do you know which room Major Parker is staying in?"
"I do."
"Good. Now I need you to go to the Major's room and get me a suit of his clothes and some identifying papers."
"Ah, that won't be necessary, sir."
And why's that?"
"Like I told you, sir, the Major and I are used to these situations. We have a boot full of essentials for such occasions. I'm sure I can find a suit of clothes that will fit the unfortunate gentleman."
Oh, my driver. You are well prepared."
"Better to be safe than sorry, sir."
"Indeed, in which case I will drop you at Lyme Street Station. I assume you have money."
"Like I say, sir, we are prepared for all occasions."
"In that case, purchase two... No. 3 railway tickets to London on the next available train."
3, sir? Will you be joining us?"
"Oh, no. Much as I would enjoy a few days in the capital, I feel it would do Miss Palmer well to leave the city for a short time.
Anything else, sir?
Do you have a gun?
Naturally, sir. What caliber and how many?
My word, you do come prepared. Just one small sidearm will be suitable. The driver was leaving the carriage and I had a thought. Driver.
Yes, sir.
You wouldn't have a spare £250 in that war chest of yours?
Certainly, sir.
I drove to Lime Street Station, which was a stone's throw away from the Adelphi. The driver, meanwhile, dressed the poor unfortunate in one of the major suits and tucked him below the window line. Disguised in my topcoat muffler and bowler, I was indistinguishably from the other drivers on the rank. I knew, however, that whilst my brothers may not be brilliant geniuses, they would have known to place their agents in and around the hotel to make sure my plan was carried out. His work was done. The driver commandeered a porter's cart and on it placed a considerable collection of cases from the coach's boot. He handed me a small paper bag containing the gun and the money.
Normally, I would ask for a receipt, but I'm sure the Major would authorise this transaction.
Well, I'm sure he would. And thank you, Drive, for your assistance. I feel we shall probably meet again in the future.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you. Now, go reserve your seats and await the Major and Miss Palmer on the platform. We shook hands and the driver left. I returned to the driving board and steered the coach into the evening air of Lime Street. I did fall out into the traffic when I felt a rumble and a bouncing of the carriage.
Bloody hell! You got a dead toff in the back, sir.
I looked through the porthole to see a now familiar face. Dancer! What the hell, boy?
Did you kill him, Sarge?
No. He was run down by a truck. How the heck did you know it was me?
A truck?
And I'll explain later. Did you find the Major?
Yes, Sarge. Tell you anything for a farthing in that place. I found him. Told him you were coming to try and kill him, but you had a plan. I said to remain in the hotel until I returned.
Well done, lad. Well done to you. As we sat by the side of the road, a few yards from the hotel, I was impressed by Dancer's initiative. I must remember to return that farthing, I thought. But before then, what now? The Major's man has reserved seats on the next train to London. He's waiting for him and Miss Palmer on the platform. He must go back to the hotel and inform the Major. Tell him he must leave by the back entrance. He must not be seen. After what we are about to do, people must believe he is dead. He must press that. For this to work, he must leave now.
And what are the prosy? Miss Palmer.
Well, she will join him on the train shortly, if she can. They must not wait for her. I suddenly noticed the snot-nosed desk clerk from the Adelphi walking towards us. He was dressed for a night on the town. He wore a dark evening suit, which, to the unaccustomed eye, looked expensive. The kind of suit a guest staying at the Adelphi Hotel might wear. I had an idea. Quick, Dancer, open the carriage door and be ready. I jumped out from the bench and loitered at the side of the cab. I drew out my billy club, and as the unsuspected clerk passed, I struck him forcefully on the head. He literally did not know what hit him. As he fell forward, I caught him and bundled him into the coach where Dancer dragged him aside and closed the carriage doors.
Do you think you've killed him, Sarge?
It doesn't matter. Quickly, lad, get his clothes off and you get them on.
Yes! Can I keep him, Sarge?
Yes, if it all goes to plan.
Brilliant. Oh, the fit! And there's no blood.
I watched with a porthole as Dancer stripped the poor desk clerk and put on his rather nice new suit.
Hey, Sarge.
Yes, Constable.
Can we go proper dancing after this?
Dancer's youthful enthusiasm was hard not to admire. And in time, I could grow to like the boy, but not tonight. There was much at stake.
Hey, Sarge, I think the clerk might be coming around.
Well, hit him again, only harder.
Hey, Sarge, guess what I've got?
I heard a loud thump. I assume Darter had obtained his own billy-clack. Well done, lad. Now, how's it going?
That should do it, sir. I'm ready. I'm proper smart, too.
I look back and admire the now smartly dressed Darter. As my mother might have said, he scrubbed up well. Now, make sure your cap is pulled down so nobody recognizes you. You must be as circumspect as possible entering the hotel. Once the Major has gone, you and Miss Palmer must wait on the steps of the hotel until I arrive.
Won't people see us?
Yes, they will. But all the Irish mob know is that Major Parker is Lil's guest, not what he looks like. And they will think you are Major Parker.
But won't someone try to kill me?
No, but I'm going to do that. And I'm going to blow you up.
Huh?
Oh, don't worry, Constable. If all goes to plan, you will survive.
Good to know, Sarge.
We pulled out into traffic and were positioned between two passing cabs and gave Darter the order to leave the coach discreetly. This he did. I pulled the coach forward and away from the hotel to allow Darter time to deliver his message and then for him and Lil to appear on the steps of the hotel. I knew prying eyes working for the Irish mob would be waiting for my arrival. But once clear of the main road, took to the back streets, where once I was sure I hadn't been followed, I stopped and dragged the clerk from the coach. Now, in only his underwear and still unconscious, I propped him in the doorway and found a half-empty bottle of grog, splashed him with the contents, and secured the bottle in his arms. Hopefully, it wouldn't be too long before a beat bobby would discover him and lock him up for the night. Satisfied with my work, I made my way back along Lyne Street. It wasn't hard to spot Lil Palmer in a pure white mink skull, drawing attention to herself on the Adelphi Hotel steps, as I had hoped. The partner, a rather dashing young-looking man, looked proud as punch to have such a beauty on his arm, although how his mother would feel if she knew her son, a policeman, was consorting with Liverpool's most notorious prostitute, was a different story. As I came closer, I could see that Lil had smartened Darter up even more. He smoothed his hair with oil and drew a pencil-thin moustache on his face to make him look older. And I dare say, devilishly handsome. They spotted me and stepped forward. Lil used over-exaggerated gestures to attract not only mine, but anybody else's attention who may be looking.
Driver, here we are. Major, is that your carriage?
Darter nodded, and the purr stepped forward. Remembering his manners, Darter opened the carriage door, and Lil was again at her over-exaggerated best.
Thank you, Major. You're such a gentleman.
Once in the carriage, Lil settled back and began laughing.
Well, that was a laugh. Haven't had that much excitement in years.
Evening, Lil.
Evening, Paddy.
Oh, so far so good. Darter, you were a natural. I shall have to watch myself. Major Park will want you for the Secret Service.
Me? A spy? Oh, imagine that.
I think he'd make a very good spy. A dashing one at that.
Lil, are you flirting with my constable?
Don't know, Constable. Are we flirting? Or is there something more?
I'm sorry, miss, but...
Darter, put your tongue back in your mouth. Leave Miss Palmer alone. We've still got work to do. Any more distractions and I'll have to speak to your mother. What was it she said about prostitutes?
Nothing, Sarge. Honest.
Oh, Paddy, this is so exciting. What now?
Well, you're off to London for a few days as the guest of Major Parker.
Oh, this job gets better and better.
Only first, we have to get you out of this cab and off to Lyne Street Station without being noticed.
Oh, that's easy.
A cab sat next to us, and it had a couple of young army officers who were sitting quietly until Lil pulled down the carriage window, flashed them a big smile and shouted,
"Oi, open up, I need a lift."
Oh, the officers scrambled for the door, opened it, and Lil did the same. Then, cool as you like, steeped from one coach to the other, much to the excitement of the two young officers, but, well, to the disappointment of Dancer.
You know where I live now, young man. Come up and see me sometime.
She blew Dancer a kiss and turned and smiled at the two soldiers, their coach stopping suddenly and changing direction towards Lyne Street Station. I glanced through at Dancer. Wipe that smile off your face, lad. We've got work to do. Get changed.
But, Sarge, you said I could keep the clothes.
Well, and you can. But anyone who saw you leaving the Adelphi will recognize you when you leave this coach. Now wipe that moustache off and ruffle up your hair. I want the old Dancer back.
I don't want to be the old Dancer.
Oh, believe me, son. It's not clothes that make the man, but the person who's wearing them. The old Dancer is no more. The young constable took heart from this and quickly changed. I told him to prop the dead man in the back seat and position him so he was partially visible, and then told him to draw back the curtains, but to crouch down so as not to be seen. As we approached a busy street corner on London Road, I told Dancer to jump from coach as discreetly as possible and to make his way home for the night. This he did. I carried on up the approach to Low Hill and the Central Brighton. When I was 100 yards from Low Hill Police Station, I recovered the dynamite from under my seat and set the timer. Low Hill was the headquarters of the Liverpool City Police Force. Until recently, it had been my place of work. It was a busy station with police officers coming and going 24 hours a day. I had to time the explosion to have the maximum effect but limited damage. Just before the station, I saw a coach leaving its spot. This was my opportunity. I reached forward and released the bolt holding the carriage to the pair of horses. One good jump, and they could run free. As we got closer to the bridle, I set the timer. I gave the horses a snap of the whip. They jumped forward, slipped their leathers, and raced off. Those policemen walking towards us saw this and scattered rather than being trampled. The coach still had forward motion. So I quickly activated the spring-loaded fuse, threw it through the porthole, and leapt from the coach. Upon landing, I clung on my bowl of muffler and top coat. The confusion caused by the roaming horse caught everyone's attention. I remained unnoticed, and I slipped away down a back street in time to hear the explosion of the coach. I threw away the bowler and pulled on my cap and drew up my collar, and blended into the crowd as they walked down the hill towards London Road, the city centre, and finally my destination, Bramley Moor. I still had work to do.
This has been a Pampas Play production.